Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 282, Four Truths Jesus Taught About Disciple Making. Pastor Harley Kolterman delivered this message on Sunday, October 9th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So, Father, we just come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for downloading through the power of the Holy Spirit wonderful things that help us, Lord, that are pertaining to life and to godliness. And so we ask you, Lord, that you will give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation today in the knowledge of you, that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that you would enlighten us, that we really, really know the hope of our calling, that we really know the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, that we really know the exceeding greatness of your power to us who are to believe, and that we understand and sense and operate in the mighty power that you use to raise Jesus from the dead. Thank you for that life-giving power, that life-giving presence. Thank you for ministering to us in a powerful way today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And bring joy, freedom, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. So, we've been at a conference. We've been drinking a lot. And you know what happens when you get drinking. Glory to God. So, in the Bible, Jesus, before he went to heaven, he gave us what we call the Great Commission. It wasn't a great suggestion. It was a Great Commission. A commission means a command. It means empowerment to carry out a task. So Brother Reggie was in the military, so there were some commissioned officers, right? Yes, and those guys, you had to say yes sir, right? Yes, sir. It was yes sir or it was the brig, one of the two, right? So commission is not a light thing. It has strength, it has power, and it has purpose, because it brings order and it brings God's way of making a strategy work to do the things that he wants to see done in the earth. You know, sometimes we get out of order and we get out of line and we don't do the things that he wants us to do. But there's a blessing in being obedient. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's important that we know what the commission is. He said, go make disciples of all nations. So I want to talk about that a little bit today. I know we talk about that quite a bit, but the reason is, or we're talking about it more, but the reason is because for a lot of people that go to church, it's many times hard to figure out what the church does. You know, what is that church that throws popcorn, what do they do? Those weird people, what do they do? How do you be a part of that church? So we don't have like a membership card. You sign up and promise that forever you're going to be a member of this place. You know why we don't do that? Because the last time we did that, the day after people signed the card, they left the church. Isn't that crazy? It was supposed to be a commitment, a covenant. I covenant to be part. So signing a card doesn't make you anything, right? Yeah. Having a piece of paper doesn't make you anything. But what you commit to in your heart and what you follow through in makes all the difference in the world. But it's hard to figure out in some places, what do they do in that place? How do I navigate? How do I be a part of what they're doing? So here we don't really have programs. You know, we have guest speakers sometimes, and we have events sometimes. But our desire is for whatever we do here to feed into making disciples. Because that's what Jesus said we should do. He didn't say go make converts. you know, convert somebody from being a Muslim to a Christian. He said, go make disciples. So what that means is you can get born again. It doesn't cost you anything. It's free. You just accept Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and boom, just like that. It's like a transaction. It's like, you know, you go to the counter and you put your chip card on the thing and it goes ding. And they take your money and you take your goods, right? So the transaction is that you get saved when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth his lordship. I don't mean just saying words, you know, because people can just say words and not, you know, just not even have any idea what they're saying. But if you believe in your heart and then you speak with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord, that's what makes you saved. It isn't church membership. It isn't going to church, reading the Bible, or even praying. It's a relationship that you have with God by the transaction you made with him because of what he did at the cross of Calvary. The Bible says that you're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you have to receive the gift in order for it to be effective in your life, or in order for you to make the transaction, so to speak. And it's as simple as that. It costs you nothing. It's free. Nobody, you can't pay for it. You can't buy it. Jesus bought your salvation with his blood on the cross. But then if you want to serve God, you have to figure out, how do I do that? How do I go make disciples? Jesus said, go make disciples. How do I do that? So we're going to talk about that just a little bit this morning to help bring you to a place so you understand this is what we do at this church. We don't just throw popcorn. Sometimes we throw popcorn. But what we do is we do our best to be engaged with Jesus, with the Father, and with the Holy Spirit to make disciples for Jesus. All right, so you might ask, what is a disciple? That's a very good question, because in some churches it means this, in other churches it means that. So you have to kind of figure out, what does that church mean by making a disciple? So here, what we mean by making a disciple is that a disciple is a follower of Jesus. That's pretty simple, right? From Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So that's the first part. Be a follower of Jesus. The second part of being a disciple is to be changed by Jesus, be being changed by Jesus, be continually changed by Jesus. How many here are perfect already? If you're perfect, you don't need to be changed. Just don't change anything. Just stay perfect, right? Yeah, but none of us are there, right? So we got to keep getting changed. Why? Because the Bible says he transforms us, or changes us, from glory to glory. So that means, I don't know if it was glory when you were born. Hopefully it was glory for your mom, your dad, your family when you were born. But even if it wasn't, God's glory was there. Because he created you, right? He created you inside your mom, inside your mother's womb. And then there's another glory when we get to see him face to face. And so from that place to that place, he's changing us. He's perfecting us. He's moving in us, if we're open to it. Now, you can stop that. You can say, I don't want any of that. And he quits. Backs off. So the second part is being changed by Jesus. Third part is to be on mission with Jesus. To be on mission with Jesus means that we're doing what he said to do. What did he say to do? He said, go make disciples. So when Brother Reggie was in Special Forces and they had a mission, they outlined what the mission was, and then they said, go do it. Is that right? Pretty much right? So they laid out some strategy. They told you where to go, gave you the ticket to get there. And then you have to do what the outline of that strategy was. So Jesus' strategy of winning the world is not having big church buildings. It's not having big meetings. It's not having small meetings. Jesus' strategy for winning the world is making disciples. And he didn't have a backup plan either. That's the only plan he gave. Just make disciples. And he didn't just, in a way, he told them how to do that because he showed them a lot of things and he talked to them about a lot of things. But he didn't do it like this. A, you do this. B, you do this. C, you do this. And D, you're there. You made a disciple. I guess he knew that people were a big problem. And if he told us A, B, C, D, if somebody missed a step, you know, then we'd think, oh my God, I can't do this. How am I going to make a disciple of that guy? Well, you can't if that person doesn't want to be. Amen? Right. So the key is you have to have some person that's hungry to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus, to be changed by Jesus and to be on mission. There has to be some hunger there for you to work with. But if that's there, then you can succeed in doing what Jesus said to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, so that's the definition. That's what we call making disciples. So the four Gospels, they're loaded with amazing truths that Jesus downloaded to his disciples in 3 short years of ministry. Remember, Jesus was born, but for the first 30 years of his life, he wasn't really doing this. He was preparing for this. And we know that he went to the temple. We know that he did the feasts. We know that he was a religious Jew. We know that he followed the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know that he was perfect. He didn't sin. We know that he believed God in the framework of the Jewish faith, we would say. And he became a leader, a rabbi, when he was about 30 years old. And then he began to teach his disciples how to make disciples. And he called them to follow him and to fish for men, to make disciples, to catch persons, to catch people. That's what he sent them out to do. So the Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in your Bible, they're full of things that Jesus told these men and women that followed him. They're full of them, full of things that he said that help you get a picture of what it looks like to make a disciple. So when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you should read it with eyes to see how is Jesus, what is he teaching them? How can I apply that to my life? And what difference will that make in terms of me accomplishing the mission of making a disciple? So some things are, you know, pretty simple. You know, he talked to them about the commandments. You know, you shouldn't commit adultery and you shouldn't do bad stuff. You shouldn't steal from people and all of that. And you say, well, I already knew that. You know, I just knew that inside. You didn't have to anybody teach it. You know, I went to Africa with my pastor one time. He was preaching to some young boys that were in a refugee camp that had never heard the gospel. So he taught them on the Ten Commandments. Why? Because they had never heard the Ten Commandments. But when he started asking them, you know, boys, is it okay if somebody sleeps with somebody else's wife? They'd never heard the gospel. Nobody taught them any of this. He said that to them, and they said, no, that's not right. He said, well, you know, you have a nice T-shirt on there. Is it okay if I just take your T-shirt and keep it without your permission? And they said, no, that's not right. So already they knew it's not right to commit adultery. It's not right to steal from somebody. That's in their heart. God put that in a person's heart. But he said, that's exactly what this book says. Says you shouldn't do those things. He asked them if it's okay to disrespect their parents. And most of them had lost their parents and they wished they had a parent, but now they're orphans, they're refugees. But they said, no, that wouldn't be right. You're supposed to respect your parents. And he said, that's what the fourth commandment says. It says, honor your father and your mother, that it be well with you, and you'll live long on the earth. It's the only commandment that has a promise. So the word of God comes to help us know what to do to form a disciple, to make a disciple, a follower of Jesus. So our goal isn't for you to follow us. You know, I know Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, and that's good. Our goal is not really even to hold you accountable to it, because the Holy Spirit is a whole lot better at holding you accountable than we ever will be. I mean, we can say, don't do this, and then check up on you, and you did it, so. But if the Holy Spirit gets on your case, says, hey, you, stop, now. Yes, sir. Yes. Amen. Yes. So it's a whole lot better if we lead you to find Jesus, help you walk with Jesus, help you be open to his changing your life, and then letting you find that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. Amen. And then get you to help others find that. Wouldn't that make sense? I don't have to control your life. I don't want to control your life. You don't have to come to me and ask permission to do something, get married, or whatever you want to do. Maybe be a good thing if you did, but that's okay. Because I might give you a few tips. You want some tips?
Yes.
Don't be unequally yoked, number one, right? Because it causes big problems. There went my notes. I wasn't talking from these notes anyway. I was just meddling with your life. So, the word is full of things Jesus said to do for his disciples so that they could make good disciples, so they can make good followers of Jesus. So, if we'll follow kind of connect the dots, they say, if we'll connect the dots in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it'll help us to know how to make a disciple, right? So that's important. So if you look at, like, for example, you don't have to turn there, but if you look at Luke chapters 8 to 10, just for an example, those scriptures are full of things that Jesus said to his disciples that would help you to make disciples. For example, Luke 8:18 says, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. For those who listen to my teaching, more will be given. So what does that say? That means you have to be open to God doing something in your life, or you're not going to get any more. And if you don't get any more, he's going to even take away what you got. That's not good. Amen? That's not a good day. You're losing ground. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, you want to make disciples? Teach them this. Teach them to have an open heart so they receive things from God. Does that make sense? Another thing he said, this is a perspective on family. In verse 21, Jesus said, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and obey it. So in that case, Jesus' mother and brother were outside something Jesus was preaching. They wanted to come see him, wanted to get next to him, wanted to talk to him, maybe wanted to straighten him out. I don't know what they wanted to do, but so people are coming to see your mother and brothers out there. They're waiting for you. They're hungry. They're wanting to go to lunch. I don't know what they were doing. Something. They were putting a pull on Jesus. He was teaching the word. He was doing something. He was making disciples. And he said, oh, forget it. My mother and brothers are those that hear the word of God and obey it. So what's he saying about family? He's not saying family is unimportant. He's just saying family isn't more important than hearing the word of God and obeying it. Right? That'll make you a real mother and a real brother and a real sister if you hang around people that are hearing the word of God and obeying it. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
So I'm just asking you to think about when Jesus is talking to his disciples, think about how does that impact my life personally, and how will that help me to make disciples? Because that's what he's doing. He's spending 3 years with these guys, raising them up to make disciples. Maybe one more thing. This one, how to deal with fear. Verse 50, I think this is chapter 8, verse 50. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith and she will be healed. Remember, Jairus came to Jesus to get his little daughter healed. She was sick and she was dying. Jesus said, I'm coming. And then they got interrupted and he didn't get there in time. And the people came and said, don't bother the master because she's already dead. So let him alone. He doesn't have to come. She's dead. And Jesus says to this guy, don't be afraid, just believe. And that's what he's saying to you too. Come on. You got stuff happening in your life? Don't be afraid, just believe. It's okay. Jesus is here. Amen? You can have fearful stuff come at you. But he says, don't be afraid. Only believe. Amen. And she'll be healed. You'll be healed. You'll receive your answer. You'll receive his promise. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to look for things like that. But among those gospel truths, here's one that really kind of hit me as being way out of the ballpark. It's from John 14. Excuse me, John 14, verse 12. He said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Now that'll challenge you. You're out making disciples, and Jesus is saying to you, just do the works that I do. Excuse me. I'm not Jesus. And by the way, you can do greater stuff. I'm going, what? What? Me? Do greater works than Jesus? He said it. I didn't make that up. You can read it in your own Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Greater works than Jesus did, you can do. Now, I don't know what you know about people. Sometimes making disciples is a little hard. Sometimes. Sometimes it's a piece of cake. You know, somebody just gets it. You know, they go, ow! I want that! What do I have to do? Where do I have to go? We had a guy in Cuba, Adonis, Pastor Adonis and I were ministering to this guy. And all of his family had just gotten saved. He's the last one. He's the dad. And he said, I already heard about that. I heard my wife got saved. I heard my daughter got saved. I heard my son got saved. And he said, you don't have to tell me anymore. Just you tell me I have to go to church, I'll go to church. You tell me I have to go to cell group. Nobody's talking to him. But we never talked to him about cell group or church or anything. He said, you want me to put in a small group? I'll go to the small group. Where is it? Just show me where it is. I want to go there.
Yeah.
I'm going, wait a minute. Does this happen? Is there really a person like this?
Yeah.
That just says, I want to do that.
Yeah.
But most people are not that easy. So that's when you have to do the works of Jesus and greater works. Starting with your prayer life, you know, your knees. Because there's a lot of times we don't even know what to do or where to start, man. What's going on in this life, man? Holy cow. Wow. But just look at a couple of words in that verse. The first word is anyone. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes, anyone. Would that be you?
Yes.
Could that be you?
Yes.
Anyone who believes. What? Anyone who believes what? Well, it says, we'll do the same works that I do. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He preached good news.
Yeah.
He loved people. So anyone who believes in him can do that, including you. And then there's another word in there, a couple of words, two words. Will do. Anyone who believes in me, I'm using the living. Is that what you got up there? ESV. No, you got ESV. Do you have living? New Living Translation? Yeah, so all these scriptures are from New Living. So if you just stay there, that'll be fine. So anyone who believes in me will do. See that? It says that right here. Will do. Is that maybe?
Nope.
It's not maybe. So the question is, do you believe in him? Because if you do, you will do what? The same works. What does that mean? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, preach the gospel, love people. Everybody say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know why that scripture is in the Bible? To help you, right? To help you get to there, right? Because when you think you can't do it, you think you shouldn't do it, you think maybe it's not going to work, you think like all kinds of crazy things, it doesn't change that any if you believe in him. He said, well, I tried to heal the sick. Well, that's the problem. You tried. That's a problem right there. He didn't say try to heal the sick. He said heal the sick. Cast out devils. I tried to cast out the devil. It wouldn't come out. That happened to the disciples too. You know what he told them? Fast and pray. Till it comes out. Okay? Problem? Solution. And if you read enough of those words from him in the Gospels, you can do that. Should I quit now or should I keep going? It is now 12:02. I can pick it up next week. Or do you want to make it a little further? Crickets. Crickets. Let's go for it. Okay, we'll go a little longer. I won't do the whole download, but I'll do some here. Anyone will do the same works. See that it says that there? Same works. And even greater works. I didn't make this stuff up. I just turned to this place here, 1412 NLT. And most of the other versions are pretty much like that, right? Okay, why will this work? Because I am going to be with the Father. What did he say would happen when he did that, when he went to be with the Father? He would send the Holy Spirit, right? So now you can understand why he can say this. If you believe in me, you will do same works, even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. And later on, he said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? And I don't see any maybes in there. So you guys, you get to do some really great stuff, some cool things.
Amen.
Throw popcorn, I don't know. Wow. It's like giving a 12-year-old kid a shotgun. Just blow up everything. You know, when I was growing up on the farm, we used to shoot the chickens for target practice. So, I mean, I say it now because my dad isn't here. I mean, he's like Yeah, I know that. And then my brother, sitting over there, they did stuff with chickens too. They'd dig a big pit, throw the chickens in. They were already dead. They didn't do this to live chickens as far as I know. They threw them in the pit, threw gasoline in, and then threw a match in. I mean, there were flames up to the top of the trees. We did dangerous stuff on our farm. It wasn't just corn and cornfields. We shot chickens and burned chickens. Glory to God. I don't know if I want to follow a pastor like that. But that old 410, shotgun, single shot, it did a number on chickens. That's awesome.
Did you get to eat them?
No, we didn't eat them. We're just doing target practice. You'd be picking, you know, shot out of your teeth, you know, if you did that. All right, so are you a disciple of Jesus? So these are the questions. Are you anyone? Yes. Has he gone to be with the Father?
Yes.
Are you a believer?
Yes.
Are you a disciple of Jesus?
Yes.
So how could this scripture possibly be true when we don't see any of this stuff happening? So turn to Luke 10, and I'll probably try to bring the plane down because it's just a little bit late, and we're going to pray for you. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. It says, the Lord chose 72 other disciples. Everybody say other. That means he had some before that, right? He had Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, Judas, maybe another Judas. I know, Thomas, right? So he had 12 of them. And now he has 72 more. So what that means is that you don't have to stop with 3, Peter, James, and John. You don't have to stop with 12, those other 9 guys, including one that betrayed him. You could have 72 more. Because Jesus did, right? He's showing you how to make disciples, all right? Now, I don't recommend you start with 72. You probably should start with 1, right?
Yes.
At least 1. At least you're in the game, amen? At least you can throw popcorn then, right? So he chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he had planned to visit. So he's got a mission. He's got places he planned to visit, like Peru, right?
Yes.
So what did we do? We sent Pastor Adonis and Pastor Iran to Peru ahead of us. Why? Because they're doing strategy. They're making plans. They're getting us some transportation. They're making some arrangements, figuring out how much it's going to cost for food. Stuff, right? So he sent them ahead in pairs to the towns and places he planned to visit. That's his mission for this 72. So one other thing just to notice, 72, if you kind of divide that by 2, what do you get? All the mathematicians said
36.
36, right? Right on, spot on. So that's 36 pairs of people, right? So that means, technically speaking, they could go to 36 different towns. So sometimes we don't think about Jesus had a plan. But the Bible says he preached in all the cities and villages of Judea. So Pastor Karen and I had the privilege of going with Pastor Israel, who you saw on the screen, to some of those towns and villages. They're ruins now. But we went to some of those places in Judea that no tourists don't ever go. But he took us to those places. He said, I want you to see some places where tourists never go. Some places where Jesus walked and preached. We went to those places. But he sent these guys there first. 36 places he could send them at one time. And then those other 12, maybe, another six places. He had a mission and he had a purpose. He planned to visit there. So I'm going to take you back to Luke chapter 8, verse 1, so you can see why he was doing this, and then we'll probably close, and then we'll come back to it next week. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages." See? Like it said he was going to do, right? "He began a tour, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with them, along with some women." Can you imagine that? Why would you take some women there? Can you? That isn't the whole verse, right? "Along with some women." See, it says that there. He even took women with him. Yeah, but women shouldn't teach in the church, preach in the church. Women shouldn't do nothing. Just sit and listen to your husbands. What? Look what it says. It says Jesus did this along with some women. What? Had been cured of evil spirits. Now that's a team, man. Women who had been demon-possessed and had diseases, but they had been cured. Among them were Mary Magdalene. She had what? Seven of them. Seven demons she had. I guess there's hope for you and me, right? Isn't that great? Jesus loves people and sets them free so that they can go on mission with him to preach the gospel everywhere. Because the Bible says, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Amen? Amen? And when you get free, you don't need his permission. He's already given it to do his works and to do the greater works. Even if you're a woman. So if we stop the women from doing that, guess how many people we'd have in the church? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I know, where are the men? Come on, men.
That's right.
Quit sitting out there. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Amen? But these ladies are not going to wait for you. They're going to heal the sick and cast out devils.
Yeah.
And preach the gospel everywhere they go. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. And you men can do it too. Say, "I can do it, men." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, so then it says, "Cast out the seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager." I bet she was a trip, man. She was organizing everything. It needed to be organized. She was there. "I got this. Got you covered. Here's the plan. You get it at Ace Rental Car. It's there. That car is there." She's taking care of business, right? And Susanna. I don't know who Susanna was. Susanna must have been important. She got named. And then it says, "And many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus." You know, they didn't get paid for this. They just did it on their own. And hallelujah. And it says, "To support Jesus and his disciples." That lazy bunch of men, they were just going for the ride, and the women were paying the bill. What's wrong with this picture? But they got to be on Jesus' team. And Jesus evidently didn't complain about it. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, so are you getting a picture? Jesus wants you to make disciples. He's empowered you to heal the sick, cast out devils, to give freely what you've received. And you can do it if you believe in him. Those who believe on me will do the works that I do, and even greater works. So you don't have to have a degree. You don't even have to have a title. Imagine that. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be an elder. You don't have to be a pastor, apostle, prophet, something. You do have to be a man or a woman.
Come on.
Not some of those other gender stuff that we got going on here. But that's a qualification. But you do have to believe. Amen? You do have to believe in him. So we're not in charge here. He's in charge. Amen? And as long as you don't forget that and let it go to your head, you can have the shotgun and shoot the chickens. Blow everything up that there's to blow up. So you don't know Pastor Karen and I very well, but when we were very young in the Lord, we used to blow up churches. Not with explosives. Well, sort of explosive. But we used to go into places where there wasn't any Holy Ghost and bring the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Yeah. Woo. Ooh, did that make people mad? We didn't last very long in those places, but we went and blew them up. So we were doing strange things like throwing popcorn a long time ago. We go to preach in the one church we started with my friend. He's going to be with the Lord now. And we tag team preach. I'd preach, he'd preach. I'd preach, he'd preach. We'd go for hours. And these people would sit and take it.
Yeah.
And then he'd lay hands on me and I'd go out, boom. And he'd go out at the same time. And then nobody was leading the church. And the people are going, what do we do now? We haven't done that for a long time, but who knows, may happen again. Do it again, Lord, amen. We had fun, though. Hallelujah. So let's just stand. I promise I'll finish this next week, maybe. If the Lord lets me, I'll finish this next week. So let's just pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, your love, and your power. Thank you, Jesus, for these men and women who are hungry for you, are thirsty for righteousness, Lord. You said they would be filled, not with popcorn and not with bologna, but, Father, they'd be filled with your Spirit. They'd be filled to overflowing, Father God, and they'd go to the ends of the earth and preach the gospel and set men and women free from demon power, heal sick people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for raising up not just a team, but raising up a remnant of men, women, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, who are healed and delivered from the power of the devil, who are on fire for you, who are living for you, who are set free from darkness, set free from domination of Satan, set free to serve you by the blood of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' name. Thank you for raising them up in that power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you that they will do your works and even greater works because you went to the Father and you sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of them. So, Lord, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory, and we thank you for what you are about to do in our city, in our region, across this nation and across the world. Thank you, Jesus, for raising up this team for this time and for this hour, because it's in your name that we pray and give you glory, honor, and praise. And everybody said, So let me just read you one more thing as part of this message, and then we're going to pray for people or receive an offering, I think. Receive an offering. This is a quote from a researcher, if I can find it here. A researcher named George Barner. Maybe you've heard about the Barner Group. They research spiritual stuff in America. He said, maybe I need to read this other thing first. He said, in its first 200 years, America could count on the consistency of its people's faith commitments, and with that, common views about morality, purposes, family, lifestyle, citizenship, and values, says Barna. But as my recent worldview research clearly shows, the United States has become one of the largest and most important mission fields in the world. We once were that, and now we're this. So if you don't think that you're needed, if you don't think Jesus needs you to make disciples, you need to think again. And you need to do your best to be his best.
Yes.
And to get the job done. Because he put you, he put me, he put us here in this time. And we maybe don't have much time left. Now, Jesus raised up some radical disciples in 3 years. Maybe we have 3 years. Maybe we don't have 3 years. But whatever amount of time we have, I've committed this church family, Pastor Sarah and Pastor Santos have committed this church family to making disciples. We invite you, we welcome you to join the trip, because you can make a difference. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.